got to watch a little bit on Facebook your town hall that you had at Marshall this morning. I thought it was interesting. You mentioned you had a chance to visit with Bill Northey on the phone on Wednesday. What did you learn about the market facilitation program payments and what's in line for PP in this disaster aid bill?
Well, not much, but the only thing we know for sure on the facilitation is that it's going to be planted acres. So if you don't plant, that won't qualify. Only the number of acres that you actually planted to a qualifying crop. Now, that's a pretty long list, and it's almost everything, including alfalfa. So that's the one thing. What we don't know is how much per acre this is going to end up being. And I don't think they know themselves at this point. They're trying to come up with some scheme where they would decide in the county how much is the average percentage of different crops in that county. It's like, how much, like 40%, soybeans, 20% corn, 30% wheat, whatever it is. And then they're going to take those numbers times the amount they feel like those crops have been damaged by trade agreements, times the county average yield, and then out of that, they're going to come up with a per-acre payment. Once that per-acre payment is decided, then that's multiplied times your planted acres, and it doesn't make any difference what those acres were planted to. No matter what the crop is, the payment will be the same for all acres, no matter what it is. So that's how it's being done. One of the problems, I think, and I told Northey this, is that you're going to have counties right next to each other going to have different payment amounts, maybe significant differences. And that's going to raise a lot of questions with farmers. That's number one problem. Number two is, they say they don't want to affect planting decisions, and that's why they're doing this. I've been arguing for a week or more that they should just wait 3 weeks and they wouldn't have to worry about that, and they wouldn't have to go through this whole process. But they've decided they're going to do this. So the tension in this is that if you don't plant, you're going to get prevented planting on your crop insurance, but you're not going to get these facilitation payments. Then the other complicating thing is that they've got this disaster bill that's going to be passed probably next Tuesday. And then that bill, there's a provision that's going to allow the secretary to increase the prevented planting percentage up to 90% if you have crop insurance and up to 70% if you don't. So a couple of things. You're going to get paid prevented planting even if you didn't buy insurance, which I think is a problem. And the second thing is, you're going to get more, up to 90%. I doubt if it'll be 90, but it could be. So corn could go from 55 to 90. And then the issue is, okay, how much you get out of that versus how much you might be able to get if you plant that acreage into some kind of a crop. So the long and the short of it is, they have put these farmers in an impossible situation. I would guess that whatever decision they make will be wrong. And I think the whole thing was unnecessary. They made it way more complicated than they needed to. But as I told the farmers down there, I am not in charge of this. The facilitation payments are completely administration. We have really no involvement. And the disaster bill was written by the Senate, Republicans in the Senate, and Trump. So it's I've given advice I don't think mostly been listened to, but that's where we're at.
What makes you think the disaster aid package will get a yes in the House next week?
Well, it's never a question. The Senate, when they finally finished it last Thursday the big issue was getting Trump to say he would sign it. It passed like 94-5 or something like that, or 90, 85, whatever it was, passed by a huge margin. You know, to Pelosi's credit, she decided that we'll just, to try to expedite the money to the producers, that we'll just accept the Senate bill, even though we have some concerns about it. She wanted to expedite this and get the money, especially to the South. Well, then the Republicans came in and objected. So now it's been held up all week because of that. But when we get back Tuesday, and barring some, well, I don't, you know, if Pelosi brings it to the floor, the Senate bill to the floor, it's going to pass. You know, the question is by how much.
And then I wanted to follow up. You'd mentioned the last time you and I visited, you were a little frustrated with the administration, USDA in particular, because they plan to reopen continuous sign-up for the Conservation Reserve Program. And you'd mentioned maybe you'd try to get language included in this disaster aid bill that would change some of that. You didn't?
I know. There was no opportunity because we didn't have anything to do with it. The Senate completely wrote this without our involvement whatsoever.
I know you'd said you'd visited with John Hoeven, and I know John obviously may have had a chance. So,
well, I did, but I don't think he did anything about it.
Could that change then? Are you looking at other avenues to address that?
No, it's done. It's done. The bill is put together. Trump's the big problem because he wasn't going to sign this at all. So I don't think anybody wants to monkey with it and run the risk that he might not sign the bill. So I don't think that's an avenue. I talked to Northy about this yesterday again. They have scaled this back. So there's nobody's going to get more than 90%, which is what the new law is. Nobody's going to get any extra incentives for planting, for seed mixes and planting and that sort of thing. I think the maximum they're going to get is a 50% cost share. So, you know, they've scaled this thing back. The problem is, I think it's not legal for them to use the old law to do the continuous and then require that the general sign-up has to be under the new law. And they made that decision, and I don't think that they can do that. It's either have both of them under the old law or you have both of them under the new law, I think. So I still got my staff looking at it to see. But after what he told me yesterday, it might be, it's good to let him go ahead with this. The only problem is you got people in trouble out there looking to get into CRP because they want to save their land or whatever. I think that the continuous and the CREP programs have hijacked the entire CRP program. And in the last number of years, that all of the land signed up went into those programs. In the case of CREP, the state is actually running, you know, how this works. In the case of Safe Acres, the state is doing it. In the case of these other practices, they were dreamed up by Pheasants Forever or Ducks Unlimited or Nature Conservancy or whoever. And that's not, in my opinion, the way we should run CRP. It should be run the way it was when it first started. The farmers should be the ones that drive this thing, not a bunch of special interest groups. That's my problem. And, you know, they could end up signing a whole bunch of acres under the continuous, and then we'd be shorted on the general because of it. So that's really my big overall concern.
Thank you. And finally, the USMCA, I know that there had been some questions on that and where we were at in the process. And I know Lighthizer has been working with Pelosi. Have you had a chance to visit with either of them on progress there?
Well, I've talked to both of them. She's working through the problem she has in her caucus, you know, in the Democratic caucus. I'm, as I told the group down there, I'm optimistic about it. I think this thing is moving and I think it's on track to get done by this fall. There's a bunch of members from the Ways and Means Committee going to Mexico next week to review the labor standards. That's been one of the issues. So, you know, from what I can tell from the chairman and of the committee and the subcommittee that they're both trying to work this out. So I think it's going to get worked out. And as I told the group down there, Pelosi is the best vote counter there is in the House, and she isn't going to send it up if it's going to fail. And right now, she's not sure there's enough votes to pass it, so she's doing the due diligence and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But the new agreement is not substantially better than the old agreement for agriculture. It's a little bit better, but not enough to make a whole lot of difference. And so as long as NAFTA is in place, which it is, it's not a end of the world if this thing doesn't get done until September or October, because we're still operating under NAFTA. The only problem there could be would be caused by the president if he decides to cancel NAFTA. And then under that circumstance, then we could have a situation where agriculture gets hurt. But I do not believe they would be, I don't think they'd do that. I don't think the administration would do that. But you never know. They do some kind of crazy things.
Well, interesting. When he's talked about it before, it sounds like they're really, the administration is trying to work with Pelosi on this, trying to get her
approval. I think so. Well, they should. I mean, they've got to get her support, you know. I mean, and so, you know, I don't know what Pence was doing when he was out here. I thought that was kind of a dumb move, but you know, I've said as soon as this thing came out, I supported it. The minute I read the thing, I came out immediately and sent out a press release and said, I'm supporting this. I'm going to do what I can to get it passed. Because I told the administration, I told Lighthizer and Navarro and those guys, I said, as long as you don't screw up the good things that we have in NAFTA and agriculture, I'll support the agreement. Well, they didn't screw anything up, and they actually improved a little bit. So I've been supporting it, and I'm, like I say, I think it's going to get done. It needs to get done. But whether it's done in July or August or October or November, I don't think it makes a huge amount of difference, because NAFTA is in place until then.
What's the process once a USMCA is approved? What happens to the old NAFTA? Do they have to cancel it, or does the USMCA just automatically replace it?
It goes away. Yeah, it gets replaced. And you know, the way this process works, they have to send this to the Congress first before anything starts. So, I mean, we couldn't vote on this if we wanted to, because it has not been sent to Congress. And so once they send it to Congress, then they have 90 days. We have 90 days to deal with it. But, you know, they haven't sent it up, and one of the reasons is they want to make sure that they got everything lined up before they send it to Congress, so that we don't use the 90 days and then have it not done, you know. So there's politics being played with this, that some Republicans want to make this look like the Democrats are hurting farmers on trade, because those Republicans are getting a lot of heat because what Trump has done, you know, in China. So they're trying to turn the trade thing back on Democrats. And that's part of what's going on here. You got a lot of politics being played with on both sides.